CliffCentral.com.
Yes, indeed. CliffCentral.com on a Friday morning. We're talking about a whole lot of nonsense, including giant lizards, which scare the hell out of me. We're talking about haircuts, whether Leanne has a pigtail or a ponytail. We talked a bit about George Floyd. We talked about the ANC tearing itself apart. And we haven't even scratched the surface yet of what else we have to get to this morning. So there's a lot going on. I got a great picture from somebody on Instagram just now who's listening to the show. Natasha, she sent me this picture of a cyclist, and it says, "No thanks, just the middle of the fucking road for me, thank you." Here it is. See that? Isn't that great? That's so true.
You're going to use that to justify how you feel about
it's
it?
It's just interesting that Natasha had that picture and that she's thinking the same way I am about things. Really? So, all right.
You've set a lot of people off. Do know that.
I know. And it's all right. Cyclists have always despised me and I've always despised them. We know each other. We've leveled
so
with each other. It's honesty.
Where do hikers fall in this ranking?
I don't really have a problem with hiking. It's just what you and Leanne said. It's probably just because people are doing it and it's popular that I'm now railing against it. So I got to sort that out. It's my psychological problem. That's what it is.
Cycling logical.
Yeah.
Yes.
Correct.
You aren't going to reconsider. You aren't going to.
No, leave it
think
there.
About it.
I've just simmered down. Leave it.
All right. Here's a great email from Paddy. Paddy says, "This might interest all of you, especially Leanne. I've been listening to you guys from day one on Cliff Central, even before that on radio. I'm totally excited. I'm 58 and I've been living in the armpit, that's PE, for the last 20 years. Seriously, Gareth, you need to give PE a chance. It's a great place to live." Fine. Fair enough. Back to my reason for writing. After 30 years of selling hydraulics and pneumatics... I love that word pneumatics because, you know, it's got that P at the front, which is so scary for people. It's a pneumatic, and then they start with an N, and it starts with a P. Pneumatics and
it's
hydraulics.
It's like orcs.
Correct. To various factories and working for some pretty shitty companies in that time, I had the great fortune of being able to change careers. As from mid-April, my wife and I are moving to the Klein Karoo, in Oudtshoorn, to be exact. And my job will be managing a beautiful wildlife ranch in the town. So from having to look out of the office into litter strewn into the streets of the industrial area of the armpit, I now look out onto beautiful lawns and ponds, trees surrounded by lemurs, cheetahs, leopards, crocodiles, pygmy hippos, etc. That is some career change. From saving some cuck industrial press in a factory that pumps out some part for a car exhaust, I'll now be ensuring our grandchildren and their grandchildren will be able to see vultures, wild dogs, cheetahs, white tigers, sloths, etc. Hopefully in their natural habitat, but if that's not possible, in a beautiful surrounds that replicates their habitat. Hope you're a bit jealous sitting up in Johannesburg. Excuse me while I step out for some fresh Karoo air and the sound of a roaring lion. Paddy. So jealous. I really am. That sounds ideal, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So quick,
she's doing something right in this thing called life.
Hold on, one at a time, children.
Do you remember the days?
Go, Leanne.
Okay. Yeah, it's me first. Do you remember the days when we actually had dreams and goals and wishes and. We knew what our future was going to be. When I was young, I always wanted to be a newsreader. Okay, so I got that right.
Yes.
And I used to have a girl crush on Gillian Van Houten.
I remember that.
She had, Sia, you won't remember, don't even try. But she had this.
You know, when a
very
dog is confused and tilts their head, I just stop myself from doing that. I'm like,
She had this very stark, dyed black hair and was quite a harsh-looking woman. But she married a wildlife guy. I don't know if he was a photographer or a ranger.
Quite a harsh-looking woman. My God.
Now I really want to see her.
No, I thought she was quite pretty. She was very pretty.
I thought, you know where it comes from is my mom. Because I liked her so much and I said she was pretty, my mom said, oh no, she's very harsh looking. You're much prettier. I think that's where it comes from.
Okay.
But she married this wildlife guy, and the two of them live in the bush and like have lions as pets.
Isn't it? Wasn't it John Varty?
Yes.
From Londolozzi, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought I was going to do with my life.
Okay. And of course, it's turned out pretty much the same. I mean, you were a newsreader, and now you've got cats, and that's almost like being in the bush.
And I did live in the bush for a while.
You did for a little bit. All right, listen. I mean, I think that, Leanne, it sounds like you've given up on your dreams. Don't stop now, because you could still go. Look, this has just happened for Paddy at 58 years old. So you never know.
That's amazing.
Yeah. True. Don't stop believing.
Paddy, thank you.
Hold on to that feeling.
Now, one of the things...
Leanne, you're just a city girl.
Oh, stop it now, will you, with your songs. Sia's just looking for an excuse.
Oh, it doesn't hold on, girl.
He's looking for a... it's just a city boy. Born and raised in South Detroit. Anyway, if you're gonna bring on excuses to sing, Sia, then let them be right. So I found out something interesting yesterday. I've decided, first of all, to drink my tea from a proper teacup this morning. I'm not buggering around.
And show us again.
It's a very, very nice teacup. It's very, very ancient.
It's not a mug.
No, it's not a mug. But look at the color of that tea. Oh, it's so nice. Wait, let me just lift it up a bit. I don't know if you can even see it. It's dark. It's really good. Let me just do this. There we go.
You know those instant regret videos?
See the color
where someone's
of that
showing their newly baked lasagna
and you pour
to the camera
tea
and it slides off
all over the laptop and then we have a massive problem. So anyway, you'll see I'm adding the milk now after you've poured your tea. So I discovered something interesting yesterday. There was
what is it?
There's a documentary, a whole documentary, and it went on for an hour about the perfect cup of tea. Oh, yes. No, this is how you know you're old. This is how you know you're old. So, apparently, a couple of things about tea. First of all, the reason that some people in England and other parts of the world where they drink tea, but let's just focus on the English because that's where tea became a fad. The reason that some people put their milk in first is because these porcelain cups that they used to make, very thin porcelain, and if you poured the tea in first, sometimes they would crack because it was too hot.
Okay.
So that's why some people still continue to pour. But of course, that was for the poor, that was a problem. For rich people, they didn't give a shit, so they carried on pouring the tea first and then adding the milk. And the reason you do that is because then you can see how strong your tea is. And if you are drinking weak tea, I have no time for you. You must be you must be an evil person from root to branch. You must have a diseased heart. You must be a vicious criminal. And all the bad things that humanity has ever decided to load onto any person, you must have, just because you have weak cat's piss tea and you add way too much milk. It's disgusting. It's inappropriate.
Yeah.
It's revolting.
It was the bane of my mom's life. Because she had very strong tea. In other words, it had been steeped for a long time.
Oh, this is good tea.
And then only a dash of milk just to change the color slightly.
That's it. That's what
and
I
my do. My grandfather, on the other hand, you dip the tea bag in the water twice and then you filled half the cup with milk.
Listen, I drink the tea strong, a tiny little bit of milk, like virtually a drop or two of milk, just to make it opaque instead of clear. And by the way, there are some things that are really annoying if you're a tea fan, since we're getting into the specifics of it. If you stir your tea and you make noises like this.
Oh, is that uncouth?
Disgusting. You don't make a sound with your tea spoon. You don't touch the sides of the teacup if you can possibly help it. Very important.
You mean to touch the bottom?
I consider myself a tea lover, and I cannot understand why someone pours milk into tea. Like, to me, that just ruins it.
Well, the real aficionados, and this is where I'll give you credit for being even more evolved than I am, is the real aficionados do not add milk. They will have specific kinds of tea, like Darjeeling tea or Earl Grey or one of those. And you don't add milk if you're
What about Jocko?
No, well, I like Joko. I mean, this is Joko that I'm drinking now. There's nothing wrong with that. It's great.
What's the Joko slogan again? I know the Five Roses one. Nobody makes better tea than you and Five Roses.
You would have loved Wednesday's show with Gord. We were just going through old advertising jingles. I know that Joko are doing something really cool at the moment, and this is not a plug for them. They're not a paying client or anything, but I think they're doing they give a certain percentage of their sales of their tea bags, and it's one of the reasons I buy them.
To Joko Ono?
No, to Power, to people opposed to women abuse. And, I've supported them for a long time. So that's one of the reasons I like Joko. And I give them credit again. They make the round tea bags, which makes a whole lot more sense than those square ones.
Mm.
Yeah, just saying.
Why and how?
Because a cup is round. It makes sense to put a round tea bag
again,
in a round
I'm not
cup.
I'm not a tea bag person. I use loose tea in a
you, proper... you have a strainer and a whatnot?
Really?
Yes. Well, no, it's a pot.
Look at you.
Hold on.
I'll get it for you.
All right.
You'll see me walking to my kitchen.
This morning's show and tell continues. Gareth brought out his DMX CDs, and Leanne has a pot for tea that she's about to share with us. How nice. So here's something cute that's happening.
I don't know anyone who actually still uses an actual teapot.
I know. I mean, my parents have this silver tea set with a strainer and everything, and they sometimes use that. It's a whole thing. Where's your pot, Leanne? Show us your pot.
This is my teapot.
Oh, nice. A glass one. And you put the tea in the middle and you put the water in the outside part.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The tea goes, it's got tiny little slits. And then I have loose teas, like this is one of them, for instance. Mm. This is Lapacho apple. Now, Lapacho is a tea from Argentina, which comes from the inner bark of a Lapacho tree.
Wow, look at you. Here I was thinking, yeah. I watched the documentary, but you are a mountain of information this morning.
Mm.
You know,
and all that's in here... Really? All that's in here is real apple and Lapacho. And then, you pour that into the middle of the teacup, and then you fill it up with water. And so this is, because this is a fruit tea, you can put the water in at 100 degrees. So as soon as the kettle's boiled, you can put it in and it won't tarnish the tea. But if you're looking at green tea,
the word is scald. It won't scald the tea.
It won't scald the tea.
Oh, I should have just sat out there.
If you're looking at a green tea, for instance, those need to be poured at 70 degrees centigrade. And that means that you need to leave the kettle after it's boiled to cool down. And boiled water cools down at 5 degrees per minute. So you would need to leave it and calculate it. I'm just trying to think now.
This is going to take a while. We're not good with that.
I think it's 6 minutes or so you need to leave it before you pour
Leanne,
it.
Leanne, have you seen those fancy kettles that actually have, you can set the kettle to boil at a particular temperature? Like super tea.
Wow.
Yeah. You get these real tea fanatics who they actually have different, you can get it. To go to 80 degrees and no hotter, 90 degrees, 100 degrees, or even like gradations.
That would freak me out because you want it to reach 100 to kill all the germs, but then let it cool.
Well,
but if it you're not
killing all the germs. I mean, I drink tap water in Johannesburg. We've got very good tap water, Pretoria as well. We've got some of the best tap water in the world. So you're not killing any germs. That's not why you boil it. You boil it because you like it hot. Eleutheria says, oh, yes, those little pots are perfect for one person. I think she's insinuating that you're alone, so alone, but she likes the pot.
Oh, horrible. Just me and my cats and my tea.
But she also says that her mother only drinks something called Tetley's tea, which I know my parents like too.
Oh, I know those as well. Also, tea bags. I think they've got like a blue and white checkered tablecloth as they have. Oh, I've seen the comments.
Come on, Carl.
Carl DeSantis says, Leanne, are you saying you've never been teabagged?
Well, Carl, As a matter of fact, I have.
Garabo says, I was once told that the Queen would burn me at the stake if she saw my tea, so now I stick to coffee. I much prefer tea to coffee.
There's something to be said. I don't drink it myself, but I know people who do. Is a good cup of Builder's tea. A tea bag. Yeah, it's an English thing.
Okay.
So it's a tea bag with strong tea and then a decent amount of milk and then lots of sugar.
Well, Carl, who was making horrible comments about you and teabagging just now, has a valuable point here to make about the boiling point of water. Because of the altitude in Johannesburg, the boiling point isn't 100 degrees anyway. It's only 97 degrees. Go to sea level if you want to boil at 100 degrees. Well, you might notice if you have gone to the coast, and you'll notice it takes the kettle a little bit longer to boil if you fill it to the same
level. Yes.
Yeah. So that makes perfect sense. Carl's absolutely right.
Or anything like eggs or pasta water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so there we go. We've just done like the old people's half hour because now we're old. And we talk about tea, and Sia was like trying his best to stay awake for the 20 minutes that we've been talking about tea. So
that was brought to you by Rosemary Hills.
Yeah, this portion of the radio show this morning was brought to you by the Savannah Retirement Flats, available now. All you have to do to secure your place is tell us how very old you are and make sure you leave a few grey hairs on the outside of the envelope so that we know that you're not making it up. Also, if you have only 3 months to live, you only have 3 months to pay, so book now.
Bonas!
I'm sorry, I could talk about tea. Listen, there's a huge debate going on anytime you sit two tea drinkers down together, and I'm sick of the coffee people getting all the attention, frankly, because coffee people.
Coffee making is. It's so obnoxious.
It is.
The sound that those machines make in restaurants that you cannot really? Even hear yourself.
Yes.
I feel for the coffee culture like you do about cyclists, Gareth.
Yes.
What? Just, like...
There's so much time put into it, it's ridiculous.
You guys,
Sia, we've got our things. You got to realize, like you hang out with two very very old people at least twice a week.
I'm gathering that.
Can you
very much so?
Just imagine how much worse Leanne and I are going to be in like another 5 years. This is why we've got to quit soon, because I think we'll be so old and irritating so soon. I mean, for many people, we probably already are. Vinny Lingham, who's listening to us from Silicon Valley this morning, the famous Vinny Lingham, says, you guys should drink bulletproof coffee. See, those guys out in the west coast of America, and I think he's in San Diego now, but Vinny, you guys are way ahead of the rest of us. I remember Joe Rogan talks about this bulletproof coffee. Isn't it where you drop like a block of butter into your coffee?
Butter.
Yeah, it's hectic.
Yes, that's right. Ooh.
Couldn't do it, hey? I could not do it.
It's also a keto thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's Robert just picking up like Vinny's hanging out in the comments. Yeah. So there's someone who does have bulletproof coffee here. Tanya says, just very important, an update. Remember that time that Sia shat his pants? Very important. It's very good. Very important. Vinny says you've got to use grass-fed butter or some good MCT oils if you want to do a bulletproof coffee properly. So there we go. I don't know. I mean, I must maybe try it one day, but I'm going to have someone who really knows what they're doing to show me how to make one. Because if I screw it up and I make a bad version, then I'm going to not only hate it, but I'm going to hate it in perpetuity, you know. So Auxy Head or whatever, however you pronounce
Aux.
It. Whatever, says there is nothing as good as a strong coffee and a bit of a joint on a crisp morning. Ugh, smoking first thing in the morning. Not for me, hey?
I like Wendy's comment beneath.
Wendy says the cyclists love their coffee, of course, sipping gently in their tight Lycra outfits. Yeah, there's like a combination.
And while hiking.
There's a combination of all the things Leanne and I hate separately and together. It's just great. See, you'll notice Sia's actually left the conversation because he was so horrified.
Oh, he has.
Yeah, no, he'll be back now. He's just sorting some stuff out. You know, he's also he's also the producer of the show. He's like a multitasker in every sense of the word. Here's an interesting one. Anushka says she has a colleague who drinks her coffee with a spoon of coconut oil.
I can imagine that being quite nice.
Yes. Coconut oil is being used all over. I see they're selling it in droves now at all the fancy shops.
Oh, yeah, of course.
People aren't using the old, you know, because I've noticed like almond milk, coconut oil, those kinds of things are really taking off. People are gaga over that stuff. I must be honest.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like I tried almond milk for the first time in my coffee a while ago. And
yeah,
it's okay. I mean, it's not bad. Like it didn't put me off. It didn't exactly like make the world of difference, but I suppose some people will tell you it's much healthier.
That's showing no respect to the people who have milked the teats of an almond nut, Gareth.
Do you know how hard they must be? First of all, you got to find them, and almonds are so small. Can you imagine how small their nipples are? Just unbelievable. Jesus. All right. A couple of things we've got to get to this morning, and I don't know if we'll finish all of these, but apparently United Airlines in the United States has said that it's more important for them to hire based on diversity than it is to hire on merit. So they want to have 50% of their flight crew, not their onboard crew, but their flight crew, the actual captains and first officers. They want 50% of them to be women, and they think this is a great idea. I'm not so sure, not because I don't doubt that women can do this. I mean, there are women pilots, and I've flown many flights where I've heard the woman pilot come on the intercom and say, hey, good morning, everybody, I'm captain, whatever, whatever. And I think it's great. But it's interesting that, you know, flights in general are the safest way to travel. The number of actual disasters from airplanes is so unbelievably small. You know, you're more likely to die in 1,000 other ways before you'll die in a plane accident. And I just don't think we must mess with that system by trying to impose some artificial crap on it. I don't care if the pilot's a woman or a man, and I don't care if it's a person of color. I'm really not interested in that stuff. Just don't. For me, merit is really important when you're flying in an aluminium tube at 30,000 feet. Just make sure the people are super qualified.
Basically, By virtue of their own statement, they're saying if they were faced with two applicants, one being a woman who was semi-competent at flying and one being a male who was very competent, they would choose the woman.
That's it. Well, that's it. Either
and that's not on.
So either they're saying that, or they're saying that up to now they've been actively discriminating against women. You know, they've got to decide.
Yes.
Because those are the only two possible options here. And if that's the case, I think they're going to have to do some damage control. Listen, I don't care how woke my airline is. In fact, the less woke my airline is, the happier I'll be. So can we just have the best pilots? I don't give a shit whether they are like trans, lesbian, mixed race women with four fingers on each hand rather than five. But if they're the best, that's all I care about. I don't want to know.
Yes.
Their identity is completely unimportant to me. Really. Can United Airlines just drop this nonsense straight away? And all this crap around quotas, it's very bad. It's just generally, if you want merit, and I understand like in some places it matters because people want to see representation. I get that. And it shouldn't be as controversial as it is, but obviously everything in the world at the moment is controversial. If I'm flying in a plane, just give me the best pilots. If I'm being operated on by a doctor, just give me the best doctors. I don't care if it's a man or a woman. I really don't. And I don't care if it's a person of color or a white person or an Eskimo, if you're allowed to even say that word Eskimo anymore, because I don't know. If it's a Native American, if it's a Chinese doctor, I don't care. It's just that they must be the best. That's all I want. And the minute the politicians...
You like your airlines playing those original Disney movies without the disclaimer in front.
Yeah, well...
Keep it traditional.
At least in terms of hiring pilots, can we just keep that from also being messed up by the politicians? Because the safety record for flying is incredible. It really is good. And if that's been working up to now, let's keep doing that. That's all I'm going to say. That's it.
Caitlyn Jenner can fly... planes.
Oh, have you heard? So Caitlyn Jenner.
What?
Caitlyn Jenner can't even drive. Caitlyn Jenner can't even drive a car. Are you joking? Caitlyn Jenner didn't Caitlyn Jenner kill that man?
Hey! Everyone gets into accidents every now and then.
She killed a man.
It was operative term being an accident.
Oh my god!
But wait, which one's Caitlyn?
I'm sorry.
Caitlyn was the dad. Hey.
Caitlyn, yeah, Caitlyn's yeah. the well, used to be Bruce, the dad. Used to be Bruce Jenner, yeah. And before anyone gives me any nonsense about like dead naming Caitlyn, I'm not. I'd say she, because to me it really doesn't matter. I have no problem calling her a she.
No one here has a problem with it. Don't worry. I know,
but still, some people are very, very. I got into trouble because I posted a picture of that Dr. Rachel Levine on Instagram the other day, and a whole lot of people said I was being transphobic.
Who's
because
she? Out of my ignorance.
So Dr. Rachel Levine is this really bad secretary for health in Pennsylvania in the United States. And Joe Biden has just appointed her the assistant secretary of health in the federal department, right? So we shouldn't even know who this person is. But we do, because while she was the secretary of health in Pennsylvania, she sent a whole lot of old people back into nursing homes to die of COVID. Which is exactly what Andrew Cuomo is guilty is supposedly guilty of in the New York nursing care system. He needlessly basically put these people at risk, these old people who we know were the most vulnerable to COVID, and sent them into an environment where they would spread COVID to other old people, and inevitably many of them would die. So it was a deeply irresponsible thing that both Andrew Cuomo and this Rachel Levine did. Rachel Levine is only known to us for that reason, if you've really paid attention to the news, or if you've just glimpsed the news, for the fact that she is a transgender woman. In other words, that she was a man who transitioned into a woman, right? Or however you describe it. So I put up this picture that said, oh, great. And by the way, she thinks it's a good idea to chemically castrate children at a young age.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's
great thinking.
Yeah. So if she says if a kid feels like they might be transgender, then it's okay for them to get chemical castrations without their parents' permission at a very young age. It's she's a very strange creature. And I don't mean that with any disrespect to the trans community. It's got nothing to do with the trans community. She's just a ridiculous person. And I got into trouble because I posted this picture of Rachel Levine where I said, oh, great. Put someone in charge of health who is obese and thinks she's a woman when she's a man. So, I mean, I was obviously, you know, it's tongue in cheek, but a bunch of woke warriors decided to descend on this is about a week ago, and they decided to like climb into me for it. I don't care. Yeah, I've been called everything already. Like, I'm just so over it. Really don't care. Mm. Anyway, Caitlyn Jenner, do you know what she's doing now?
She's thinking
about running for governor of California.
She. Well, good for her.
Hey, everybody.
Arnold Schwarzenegger did it.
Sure. Ronald Reagan did it. Why not?
See, the connotation I have of Caitlyn Jenner right now, and really, since we're living in an age where one does have to put a disclaimer with everything, it's not about her. It's not about her being trans.
Right.
It's about Caitlyn Jenner as a person.
Right.
She now has she has a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I don't even watch it for entertainment value because, you know, at least the Kardashians are an entertainment machine.
Yeah, of course.
A show like that is put together and it's put together for entertainment purposes. I watch that channel sometimes cringing at, just think of that awkwardness of someone 60 plus years old walking around with a camera going, hey guys, welcome to my channel. And it is, sometimes she misses herself and then she only records like an eye.
I want to dwell on something you said a second ago, because this is so important. Like, if you criticize someone for being a ridiculous person, like Rachel Levine or Caitlyn Jenner, you are not saying that transgender people are all ridiculous. It's like if I criticize Sia for his unbelievable interest in skincare products, and I say that that's a ridiculous thing about Sia, I'm certainly not saying that about men. I'm certainly not saying that about black men. I'm certainly not saying that about Zulu men. I'm certainly not saying that about gay men. I'm saying it about Sia Sangweni, right? So these groups that you belong to do not mean that you are impervious to criticism. And that if someone criticizes
you... It's exhausting.
If someone criticizes you, that you... they can then be labeled some kind of phobe because you have done stupid stuff, or in the case of Rachel Levine, actually sent people to death. So, you know, let's just keep our table tidy here. Let's keep things clean, because otherwise I do believe we will go down a path that we'll just never get out of. I just want to refer back to something Vinny's thrown in here as well. He says Jenna would be a better governor than Newsom, even if she did nothing. Gavin Newsom, the current governor in California, is so unpopular. People are trying to have him removed from office at the moment, as we speak. There was a petition.
Imagine being in that position.
There was a petition going around. Yeah, but you know, he was the guy who, he's the do as I say, not as I do governor, because he was the one who told everybody you can't do any indoor dining. And you know, California is like a real, it's a fun state to live in. I mean, it's managed very badly, but it's a fun place to live. And the people who live in California like to get out and do things, and they're social people, and, you know, Hollywood is there.
It's all about gastronomy and wine.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great restaurants in California, especially out in the Napa Valley and those places. And LA's got some great places. You know, San Francisco is well known for being this, you know, cultural capital. So all of those places are very social, very active, very cultural centers. And Gavin Newsom says to the people of California for most of last year, you can't go and eat indoors at a restaurant. So he shuts it down. And people were like going online and outing restaurants that had allowed people to eat inside. And it was really ugly. It was like, you know, Talon, basically. It was all the Karens. And this guy, this governor, had a dinner party, or was invited to a dinner party with about 12 other people. And there was video footage and pictures of all of them sitting inside at a restaurant having a great meal, like some fancy restaurant called the French Laundry. You could look this up. And, you know, here's the guy who's telling you can't do it, but he's doing it. So I just can't take these guys seriously. I'm sorry. It's a ridiculous situation.
Yeah.
There's another ridiculous person. Now, just because I'm saying Gavin Newsom is ridiculous doesn't mean that I'm saying every man in California is ridiculous. So I totally understand what... I understand where Vinny's coming from in terms of, like, Caitlyn Jenner might make a better governor than him. The other guy who's... The other guy who's super... Hey, you're... Bulelan. What's happening, dude? It's so dark there. You look like you're from Senegal. How are you, my bro? It's nice to see you, dude. What's happening?
I'm good. I'm trying to my goodness, I'm so dark.
Yeah, but what's happening there?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
It sounds like you've got a whole lot of people around you. What are you in a public place? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in a public place. Connectivity. I had to drive out to the Mug and Bean.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you're having some tea instead of coffee. We spent like half an hour talking about this. So, Bulelani, because there's a whole lot of noise in the background, I don't want to keep you on too long. But I just want to check in with you, because I love what you've been doing, and I wanted to find out how lockdown has been affecting the township economy. Just let me mute you while I talk here. Hang on. Just let me mute you in the meantime. So I want to find out from you how lockdown has been affecting the township economy. I know you've been very involved for many years. I actually went to Tembisa once or twice with you to do your Township Entrepreneurs Alliance meetings. And there's some amazing, amazing entrepreneurial ideas that are coming out of places like Tembisa. And you've really got your finger on the pulse of what's going on in that economy. So how has lockdown affected the townships, and particularly entrepreneurs and businesses? And how do you think that's going to recover now that lockdown has come to an end and COVID's starting to dissipate?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, yet again for having me. I mean, I'll just touch on some of the key findings, right? So we undertook the study with UNISA, in partnership with UNISA, and I think for us it was to sort of unpack data on the township economy, but over and above unpacking the data on the township economy, we wanted to then start to document so that you have policymakers making policies or creating enterprise or supply development programs with the real and raw data. And I mean, some of the data, I mean, some of the key findings, I mean, about 77% of township and rural entrepreneurs in the formal and informal sector had no source of income during the lockdown. This then, I mean, there, it was, which then led to.
Oh, shit. I think we're going to have to try again.
We lost them.
Yeah, I'm gonna take him off there because it's very noisy, first of all. And second of all, I don't think the signal's
Whoopsie
actually
daisy.
You know, really, Mug and Bean, you might make good coffee and tea, but can you get your internet working properly for Bulelani, for heaven's sake?
It's that whole obnoxious coffee thing, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Leanne, get it off your chest. What else? You were talking about the sound. Now I feel like everything that coffee people are into or do will be something horrible in your opinion. Even just an innocent little coffee art thing probably annoys you.
Before we allow that, I just want to quickly, because I do feel like what we want to talk to Bulelani about is kind of important, and I know that his connection isn't great, but I want to try one more time. This is a really interesting survey, right? It's all about business activity in the townships, and they're trying to understand the experiences of people who have been dealing with some really strange obstacles, positive or negative. I mean, an obstacle by definition is negative, but there have also been some potential advantages or opportunities that have come out of this. And we've got to think about the socioeconomic impact of what all of this has meant to the townships, because they estimate that the townships are responsible for billions and billions of rands of trade and economic activity. And there are people in the townships who are, you know, they deal in the cash economy, so we don't always have that much information about it. I think this is such a great study. So Bulelani did this, just as he's already mentioned, with UNISA. And I do want to see if we can cross back to him and just see, hey, Bulelani, that's much better.
Yeah, yeah.
We can see and hear you perfectly now. So okay, so you were about you're going to tell me about some of the findings from the study. Go ahead.
Yeah, perfect. So I think one of the findings was 77% of these township and rural entrepreneurs had no source of income, which meant that whatever they were making pre the lockdown, which was above 10,000 rand, had now dropped to below 5,000. I mean, over and above that, we then asked them a question in and around the relief scheme.
And he's gone again. Sorry, guys.
Oh, no. That's unfortunate.
I hear that song, you know, oh, no, oh, no,
oh, oh no,
no, no, no, no, no, the one that's in the memes. So sorry, Bulelani.
Yes.
All right, we're going to try again with him at some other time. Here's what I've got on the findings. The entrepreneurs were severely impacted by the lockdown. More than half of them couldn't operate. A very small percentage said they continued their operations from home since and during the lockdown. These entrepreneurs that do live in the townships are either owners or they are renting dwellings within the townships. Many have responsibilities of extended family members from 3 to 6 people in their households, so they, you know, they're not just responsible for themselves.
Yeah.
And the types of enterprises span across many business categories. Most traded in the services industries. Transportation's also big. Tourism and the retail industry are big parts of that. The liquor business accounted for the smallest percentage of business in the townships.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Under half of these enterprises operated for 3 years, and a fifth of them were nascent, in other words, brand new enterprises. They reported their average income changed drastically. 77% of them had an average income ranging above 5,000 rand to 10,000 rand a month before lockdown. And then after the national lockdown, they reported that their average income dropped below 5,000 rand a month, which is obviously half at Best Bets. That's really, really devastating.
Mm.
And just finally, the statistics showed that most of the entrepreneurs felt that there should be a more coordinated central point or body to address these businesses and to access relief funds for township businesses. More than half of the entrepreneurs felt left to defend themselves in a situation where they felt predated upon by the economy at large and by the lockdowns and the rules of lockdowns. They felt their enterprises couldn't look after themselves or access relief. Many entrepreneurs are not optimistic about the government's relief intervention to assist. So a really interesting survey. I mean, I've just given you the top line stuff here, but I'm sorry that Bulelani couldn't join us. It's good to see him again.
Yeah, it's so important. There are not a lot of companies or data-based companies that are doing this kind of research. So
well,
it's really important.
I just think it's so funny that we were talking about tea, as in drinking tea, and then and Bulelani's business is called the Township Entrepreneurs Alliance, which is tea, and he and his events are actually called, you know, teas. So it's really funny. So you see, everything's linked. Everything's meant to be. That's how it goes. Synchronicity.
Serendipitous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't bite your tongue. Jeez.
Yeah, Sia, are you still keeping lists of the new words that you learn and using them in social situations every week?
Yeah, every now and then. The ones that really make an impact on me. Let me whip it out.
What have you got?
I still... Oof. Excuse me, Leanne.
You whipping it out.
Whipping my list out.
It almost sounded like you were hissing there, Leanne.
Whipping it out.
I still like aplomb.
Aplomb.
With much aplomb.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Self-confidence or assurance.
Mm-hmm.
I still like coterie.
Oh,
small group of people with shared interests or tastes.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Pugnacious. A nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Alacrity.
Alacrity, yeah.
Brisk.
That's a good one.
And cheerful readiness.
Yes.
There's just some that I still haven't been able to apply it every day as much as I'd like to, though.
Well, I mean, while you're busy, I've also got lists, remember. I keep that list of really terrible Afrikaans names. I've got to give you an update on that one quickly, because I've added a few names to that. So while Sia keeps really useful words, I keep really ridiculous names. So I found this one's a good one. Truella. T-R-U-E-L-L-A. Truella.
Kind of like Cruella with some odd twist.
That's it. La Ruzelle. Spelt L-A-R-O-Z-E-L-L-E. La Ruzelle is another good Afrikaans name. That's beautiful. And here's a good one. Danku. D-A-N-C-O. For a man.
Oh. Danku. It's quite a strong name. I like it.
Oh, you do, huh? Glad you do.
Mm.
Okay. To each his own.
Danku. It sounds like you're saying donkey, but in a posh way.
No, danku.
Danku. Danku for the coffee.
Look who's here. Look who's here, everybody. It is George Meany. Hello, George. How's it going?
Hey.
Good new.
Good.
Are those cars and motorbikes going down the bottom of the screen?
That's right. It says
all of the things.
It says George Meany, and then it's got little cars and motorbikes and trucks.
Beep, beep.
Yeah, that's so cool. There's even a racing car there,
and a scooter,
of course. Because you guys, do you pay attention to detail? You do have scooters and bikes on Auto Trader, right?
Yeah, we do. yeah, as a matter of fact, we're the biggest bike portal in South Africa.
So, George, let me just start off by telling you, I was at a family lunch on Sunday, and one of the family was saying to me, he is going on a bike ride through Namibia with
eight of them.
And they're doing it really well. So they're sending the bikes up ahead of them on a trailer, and then when they get there, they're going to fly in, then they're going to ride their bikes for, I think it's 8 days, all over Namibia. They're going to go to all these really beautiful places, and you know, they've planned it. It's really well executed. These are not amateurs. They know what they're doing. So they've got a support vehicle that's going to be you know, there in case something goes wrong with one of their tires or something mechanical needs.
Well, they lose their balance.
Yeah, well.
You know, support vehicle.
Yes, of course, Leanne. Because, you know, Leanne, you hold on to it. That's why it's called a support vehicle or whatever they call those vehicles. Anyway, he's doing this and he didn't actually have a bike. So he decided, I think this is so cool. You know, he's probably in his like mid to late 50s and he just decided he's going to join these other guys who are friends of his and they're going to do this bike ride. So he went and bought a bike. I mean, that's pretty cool, right?
That's pretty cool. When I was 20,
oh, hang on.
A friend of mine and I, we had this dream to ride an off-road on-road bike, you know, like mm-hmm. you get those big off-road bikes from Johannesburg all the way up to London. I mean, we never did it. It was a childhood dream, but you know, some people have done it. Some people have done it. And doing an 8-day trip through Namibia, I remember it's desert.
Well, apparently the longest road that you can travel in the world, the longest journey by road, would be from Cape Town to the Kamchatka Peninsula in Asia. And
wow.
You can actually do that without ever having to get on a ferry or a, you know, put your bike or car on a boat. You could do that as the longest road trip available to humans on planet Earth. That's pretty cool.
I would have thought it would have been from the tip of South America to Canada.
Ah, but you see, you have the Panama Canal, makes it a little bit difficult.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. I suppose you're not on a road there. You have to go across water.
And God help you, because you've in South America, you've either got to go along the Andes or through the Amazon, both of which are hardly the most, you know, hospitable places.
Well, I mean, in Africa, you got to go through, you know, places like the Congo or in the current situation, if you decide to go around Mozambique.
Very dangerous.
You're going to be in some trouble.
Yeah. Good point. You know what? Let's just stay here and let's just keep it to South Africa. All right. So what have you got on your agenda for this morning?
Well, Gareth, traffic cops will soon wear body cameras to help thwart bribes. So as part of the Road Traffic Management Corporation, over the next 3 to 5 years, body cameras will be instituted to help improve conviction rates and people violating traffic laws, as well as combat corruption and bribes. So you won't be able to buy a cold drink and a packet of chips because you'll be recorded.
I feel
But I mean,
I feel sad about that. I think we're losing part of our culture.
It's the cops who initiate the bribes in most cases. So what are they? They're just going to turn their cameras off.
I think there's two sides to that story, Leanne. You know, because the cops probably are corrupt in many instances, I don't think South Africans are too scared to offer a bribe.
Yeah.
No, sure. I mean, it's a two-way street. But I've never offered a bribe, but I've been offered bribes before by cops.
Well, do we know anything about the quality of the camera and the angle of the camera? Because I watch some of those viral videos and those shows, and I think there's nothing more off-putting than that grainy gray image. Like, ugh, if at least you got to wear that body camera, at least let it be like from a particular angle on your forehead, not just on your chest. And I have three chins.
The cops are going to have beauty rings around their cameras as well.
You know what?
To put you this is in not, the best light.
This is not keeping up with the Kardashians. This is a police body cam. I mean, the really all they need to do is see what's going on. And George, does this mean the end of bribes?
I mean, I doubt it, honestly. You know, the criminals will be criminals. And I mean, look at the mob in America, like organized crime. You know, I think it'll help slow it down, stop it, reduce it. And if the government is serious, if the law enforcement is serious about rooting out corruption, then it will probably lessen the corruption. But, you know, human beings are resilient, both economically and criminally.
Jesus, you'll now have to hide the KFC that you're going to give to the Metro policeman. You'll have to make sure that the camera is camera's pointed up at the sky, and then you can pass the KFC down at, like, waist level.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. There's already ways around it, but I think it's a good thing. All in all, it's a good thing. Where I live, the security guys are mandated to wear body cameras, and as soon as they begin engaging in a problem, they have to hit record on those body cameras. I'd be interested to know whether the policeman has the ability to turn the camera on or off.
Well, they must have. I mean, if you keep it going the whole time, there's going to be hours and hours of meaningless, pointless footage.
Exactly.
And I'm sure they don't have to keep the camera on when they go for a pee or they go to wash their hands or whatever, you know. So they must be able to switch it on and off. I mean, you know, Monica says this is such a good point. Corruption will stop when it stops from the top, and I think that's such a good idea. You know, here's another thing she says, that basically if only government officials would wear cameras to prevent bribes and stop corruption. Imagine if every tender meeting was filmed. That would be much better than worrying about the small fry cops.
Well, I mean, isn't it a good idea to create transparency in those meetings, allow the press to attend? You know, that would create some transparency and stop people from taking backhands.
Right. Okay.
The rise of petrol. I'm sure you've heard all about this week. Nearly 1 rand per litre fuel price has risen.
Yeah.
There's been a rise in government tax. Now, between the government tax and the road accident fund, just over 50% of every litre of fuel, the 16 or 17 rand that we're paying, goes to government tax or levy.
It's outrageous.
I mean, my opinion on this is we've got two challenges here. One, the fuel price is regulated. Two, the tax is so high. Will the government ever reduce the tax on fuel? I don't think so. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think so. They're too reliant on it. I mean, there are millions and millions of litres of fuel that is pumped every single day, and the amount of money that the government is making. The other challenge is that this money that comes from the tax on the fuel goes into a big pot. It doesn't get allocated somewhere. It goes into just the general tax pot.
Yeah, I mean, there used to be a time where they would use a fuel levy to do the road infrastructure or to pay the road accident fund. And now, I mean, the road accident fund is just an absolute unmitigated disaster from beginning to end. And as for our roads, you don't have to ask a lot of people, but there are some roads that are so full of potholes at the moment in cities. I'm not talking about rural roads that haven't been maintained in 10 years. I'm talking about major roads inside of cities. Where I was driving the other day and there was a pothole so big that it would swallow the whole tire off a major 4x4 vehicle, and nobody's repairing that stuff. So I don't buy their argument that this is about maintaining road infrastructure or the road accident fund or any of that stuff. It is purely a way to make poor people poorer, and they are the ones inevitably who feel this the most, because if you have to catch 3 or 4 taxis to get to your job every morning as a domestic worker, or if you are, you know, working in some firm in Sandton and you live in Soweto, you don't just get one taxi and it doesn't cost the flat rate. When the taxi buses and the taxi owners see the petrol price going up, they have to put up their price as well. So
it ends up at the consumer at the end of the day.
So who bears that cost is someone at the bottom end of the chain who needs to get from A to B because they don't have their own vehicle. Those people get stung the hardest. Those people who drive, you know, expensive cars, it's gonna cost them more to fill their car up, but they'll be okay. The poor people are not going to be okay. They're already paying, in some cases, more than half of their salary goes to paying fuel. Now, you're telling me that if someone is paying half of their salary, if you're earning 5 grand a month and it costs you 2.5 grand just to get to and from work every month, which is not unreasonable, right? Depending on how far you are from work. And you're telling me that of that 2.5 grand, half of it, so let's call it 1,200, 1,250, half of it goes straight to government as a tax. That means for a poor person earning 5,000 rand a month, they may not be taxed in income tax, but they are paying almost a fifth. In fact, it's more than a fifth of their total salary straight to government in tax because of fuel. That's not fair. That does not sound right to me.
So the sliding tax scale of lower earners are swallowed up by a tax on fuel.
Yeah,
effectively
20%. 20% of a person who earns 5,000 rand and spends half their salary on transport. 20% of that goes straight to the government. That is not helping the poor, ANC. Sorry, it's not helping the poor at all.
So this is, on a positive note, which doesn't negate what you just said, Gareth, at all. On a positive note, though, we are not the most expensive fuel cost in the world. Mm-hmm. But on the lower end of the scale, as you put it, the amount of money that the poorer people pay in relation to their income is incredibly high. But on average, we're not the most expensive country in the world when it comes to fuel. I think there are other underlying challenges that besides the tax on fuel that that make our economy a difficult place to be.
Yeah. All right, well, we bitched about that for this morning, but then that's a good thing to bitch about because it does hit everybody. It just hits some people much, much harder than the rest of us. What else is there in the news?
Well, legalizing cannabis has made roads more dangerous, an American study has found. So the Auckland study discussed the implications for Canada in the analysis published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. And the analysis of the data suggests that the legalization of recreational cannabis in the United States in certain jurisdictions may be associated with a small but significant increase in fatal motor vehicle collisions and fatalities. Hmm. I mean, it goes without saying, you're going to smoke weed and drive.
Sure.
Same as drinking and driving. It's going to end badly.
Yes.
So what is the answer? Clamp down on alcohol and cannabis? Or, the police ability of this stuff is hard.
So, George, I don't want to be stupid here, but I really am because I'm very naive on this. But have they done research? Have they done enough objective scientific exploration of what the effects of smoking weed as opposed to driving drunk might be on a driver?
No, I haven't seen anything. I mean, it might be out there, but I haven't seen anything. But, smoking weed, driving drunk, for me, it's all the same. You're not in control of your faculties 100%.
Yeah, that sounds very messy. I'm just confused because to my mind, like the two would be more or less the same, but we haven't ever done any quantitative research on this, which would be strange. I'm sure there must be some survey somewhere. I mean, it stands to reason, I've been around stoners before and I've been around people who I wouldn't describe as stoners, but who recreationally smoke weed. And some of them handle it better than others. So maybe there's a differentiation between the kinds of users and maybe the kinds of weed even. But to have not done any research on this when drinking and driving is such a big issue and to pretend that it isn't a big issue with drugs of any kind, it just seems to me like really obviously stupid and ignorant.
Well, over the years that we've known each other, you've raised a couple of times what is as bad as drinking and driving, and maybe cannabis and driving, is being tired and driving, which
absolutely
could be worse.
Absolutely.
You reach a stage when you're tired that your brain will just literally switch off.
When I was driving every day to and from Auckland Park to home, it was a long drive. And sometimes, if I'd spent the entire day in town and I'd woken up extra early to do the show and then been in meetings all day, I was pretty exhausted. And I remember driving home and you have those moments where you kind of fall asleep very briefly at the wheel. Jesus, it's terrifying, right? Terrifying.
Scary.
It's easily, when I think back now on how you just push through and you hope that you don't have it happen too often. But I'm telling you, people, often people must drive off the road or smash into other people just because they're exhausted and tired. And no one's checking you on the side of the road and, doing a blood test or a breathalyzer to say, oh, you're so tired, so you shouldn't be driving. It's just as dangerous.
Yeah.
It's just as dangerous. Exactly. So, if you're going to operate a vehicle, just don't drive.
Correct.
Don't put yourself yourself in danger.
If you're going to operate a vehicle, what? Don't drive.
Yeah, wait.
I'm sorry. I knew what he meant.
I knew what he meant.
George, are you tired? Do you need to have a bit of a nap?
I think you need to pull over, George.
Yeah. Time for a little doo-doos.
Time for a little doo-doo, yes. And then very finally...
I thought my brain was having like a spasm there. I'm like, wait.
They're not letting you have a break on this one, George. They're really piling on, Sia and Leanne. It's amazing. They can say stupid things for 3 hours every day and no one's climbing into them. But you say one sentence that is incoherent and they climb into you like they can't get enough.
Leanne, are you and I ever stupid? Never.
Never.
Yeah, sure.
About it. I'll pass on your message about the body cams. Yeah.
Thank you.
What was the last thing you wanted to say, George?
So very finally, and on a positive, to end on a positive note, I've been saying for months that new vehicle sales, retail sales, being under pressure and declining as a result of lockdown in the last year is a bad thing for our economy, because selling new cars is a feeder into used car retail. And if we don't stimulate new car retail sales, we could see rising prices for used cars, which isn't good for anybody. So for the first time in a year, new car sales is in positive territory for March, which is a good thing. It's awesome news. Although, to be fair, you've got to juxtapose that against the fact that last year, this time, we had just entered lockdown. So the end of March saw a massive fall off in new car sales. But if you compare February this year to March this year, we're in positive territory. So that's a really, really good sign. And, I'm hoping that continues.
Yeah, well, let's all hold thumbs, because it's usually a barometer for the rest of the economy. George, just quickly before you go, Carl is on your side. He says, Sia and Leanne are horrible people. Leave George alone. See?
Love you, Carl. Absolutely love you.
All right, everybody. Have a happy weekend. We will see you on Monday, bright and early, 6 o'clock. Don't miss it.
See you then.
Have a nice weekend. Bye. CliffCentral.com.